Let's pray. Lord, we ask that this morning you would give us ears to hear your word, that we might go out and live lives that bring glory to your name. Amen. Please be seated. Like most children, when I was a child, I liked receiving presents. I liked the gifts that I would get from aunts and uncles, godparents, and other relatives. But I was less fond of the task of writing the thank you cards that my parents would make sure I sent. I know I was supposed to say thank you, but really I didn't want to sit down and actually do it because I'd already moved on to the next thing. I don't know what objections I made along the way. Perhaps it was along the lines of, how can you be commanded to be thankful? Can you really be told to do it and still mean it? Now, today is not Christmas, and it's not my birthday, so I don't have a pile of thank you cards to write tomorrow. But it is the day of Thanksgiving, and my first one on US soil, and I get the irony of a British person speaking on Thanksgiving. And the lesson from Deuteronomy that we heard read today, it gives us instructions that were given to the Israelites from God about how to perform a ritual thanksgiving when harvest rolled round and they were getting in the first fruits. Now, these instructions are not exactly the same as being told to write a thank you card by your parents for a birthday gift, but there's a little overlap. Both have an authority figure giving a command to give thanks, which actually involves doing something. But Deuteronomy is not just about being told to be thankful. It actually gives us a lot more of where thankfulness comes from and how we might understand it better. There's more going on here than meets the eye. I want to suggest to you this morning that this passage shows us that thanksgiving reminds God's followers to root themselves in the story of God. The thanksgiving ritual that we see here in Deuteronomy reminds us of the importance of our thanks coming from our story. It's not just an instruction to say thank you, but a reminder of why we say thank you in the first place. In this story of thanksgiving, the faithful Jew comes and brings their gift, the first fruits of the harvest, to offer it to the priests. But it wasn't just the first Jews who physically entered the land of Canaan that did it. So it wasn't the Jews that were led through the desert, landed in Canaan, that had their first harvest and brought the gift. It was them and every generation afterwards. We're talking of people hundreds of years apart. There's no distinction. In these instructions, every Jew would come and offer their gift of thanks. But they would all say, whether they were the first to enter the land or the last, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." So even the Jew with no memory themselves of entering the land would take that story on for themselves. Saying these words reminds the Israelite that he is as much a part of the promise made generations ago as those who are alive at the time. This land is a gift to him also. It's personal. God's covenant with Israel wasn't just for the first Jews, but it was for each and every descendant. In a similar way, God's work in Christ on the cross was not just for the first disciples in the early church. They aren't the only ones who get to encounter Christ's risen life. We receive that gift through the Spirit. Our gospel is a gospel that is new for every generation. It's personal. And gratitude to God is bound up with making it personal and owning that we are part of God's saving work. For as long as I keep the story at bay, I will never really know the true taste of thankfulness. Now, I don't know whether this is an American thing as well, but in England, a lot of people are taught to pray, young people, using the teaspoon prayer. The letters TSP don't stand for teaspoon anymore, but they stand for thank you, sorry, and please. So when you come to God in prayer, that's your structure. Thanksgiving, confession, and supplication. And it's a helpful tool that I used as a teenager. But it's possible for the thank you to be overlooked. It becomes something to do first, so that when you get to the sorry, you can be sure that God will forgive you. Or when you get to the please, God will grant your wish. Well, I've listed off a few things I'm grateful for, so God has to listen to me now. But thanksgiving isn't the start of the exchange with God. It comes in response to knowing his works in this world and in our lives. That's kind of why we need the command to remember, because so often we forget. Think of it another way. In the story of creation, we learn that God caused all things to come into being. We were made by him. Everything we have, he created. If I learn that as a child, but as I go on in my life, I forget it or don't remind myself of this story and that my very existence, the gifts and skills, the food that we eat are all because of God's grace in creation, then my thanks becomes empty. I return to bad habits of trusting in my own strength, and I take his gifts for granted. I can say the words, but how much do I really mean it? I'm human after all, and a forgetful one at that. However, if I make this story of creation, or any story from Scripture, my story, everything changes. I remember that all the gifts I have are gifts from God, and I learn that I am who I am because of him. So what's the story in Deuteronomy 26 that is the cause for giving thanks? It's a story of deliverance from hardship. After making this open declaration that today I have come into the land, the Jew recites what was probably an ancient creed. It recalls that the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, and then that we cried out to the Lord, who saw our oppression. And then it was this Lord who brought us out of Egypt into this place, into this land, and gave it to us. Slavery, distress, and deliverance. And this is a story we can identify with. We can make our own. We're a long way from slavery in Egypt. But we can be enslaved in all kinds of subtle ways. Others' expectations, who we think we should be, our own guilt, performance at work, slaves to our histories and upbringings. And try as we might, we can't fix it. But we can cry out. We can pray to God to bring us freedom by his Spirit. We can leave all of our sin, our brokenness, our mess at the cross. And we can be brought to a new and spacious place, a new land, where we are freed to follow him. The story of pain and suffering becomes a story of thankfulness. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, it struck me that it might seem a little strange to talk about sin, suffering, and brokenness on a day of Thanksgiving. Surely I should be talking about all the great things in life and what a blessing they are to us. Well, yes, they are. But no, that's not the whole story. We are thankful for the things that God has given us, but no, not to the point of forgetting where we've come from. The story of the Jews in slavery is a humbling one. And likewise, the gospel is all about our inability to help ourselves. The story reminds us that by ourselves we would have nothing, not even life itself. But with God, we have so much. He's in the business of taking hopeless situations and turning them on their head. Like the story of an addict who is enslaved to alcohol but eventually realizes there is nothing she can do to bring about her own sobriety and finally surrenders all to God. She offers up all of herself and allows God to take her hand and lead her into recovery. And as she discovers a new life, she is freed, first and foremost, not to drink, but also to hold down a job, to love her family well, and to have healthy relationships. It's a tricky journey, the one of liberation, but the end result is one of joy. And the story of suffering, where she came from, gives the right perspective to her new life. It keeps her grounded in reality. She doesn't recall the story, the hardship, and the suffering. She might be deceived into thinking that somehow she's earned it, or she owns her new life. So what's your story? Thanksgiving is a day to give thanks. It happens every year. And, you know, being from the oppressive motherland, it's still a tradition I'm going to take on for myself because A, I like the food, and B, I think having a day for being thankful is a good one to have on the calendar. But what if we didn't just remember what we're thankful for today, but told a bit of our story as well? What's your story? Is it a story of deliverance from being a workaholic, people pleasing, guilt over past transgressions, or freedom from an abusive relationship? What was the freedom God has brought in your life that allows you to give thanks today? That allows you to be thankful for the ability to be able to walk away from work long enough to enjoy time off with the family? The confidence to speak up for yourself? The freedom to love the unlovable, despite what others might think? And if your story is still working itself out, what would you like to say thanks for next year? Where is it that you need God's strong and mighty hand to deliver you? This instruction to thanksgiving in Deuteronomy 26 is necessary because, like children receiving presents, we easily forget to show thanks if we're left to our own devices. It's a reminder that our thanks comes from remembering where we were lost and in chains, how God has broken those chains, and how we have tasted this new life and seen that it is good. What's your story? Amen.